I'm recording.
Oh, shit. Well, hello, you guys. Welcome back to the third edition of
But I don't know.
With your hosts, me, Ariane,
and Jenna. We're actually... I'm always dramatic.
Yeah.
We're actually recording this back-to-back. We are recording episode 2 and 3 back-to-back because we want to get a little bit more content out to you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just note that Jenna's post that she just posted of me? Oh, my God. Who is that? Is that, like, the Sasquatch? Literally.
Oh, shut up. I have no makeup on or anything, so...
Yeah, you look pretty good, though. I have makeup on. I'm just kidding. I don't care. We'll replace those photos with other things.
Shut up. I'm just trying to get us out there, you know.
Yeah, I know. You know. How are you doing, Jenna?
Well, we're recording for the second
back to back.
And we're a little inebriated.
Yeah, just a little.
As we should be, because we like to drink and bitch together. You know,
bitching and drinking.
That's the whole.
I thought you were gonna say premise.
That is kind of what I meant, but okay. I'm a little inebriated.
Gruel.
Mean Girls is like our anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Except
I'm, damn Africa. I can't think of what he said.
But he does say damn Africa.
Yeah,
he does say that.
Caddy. Kevin G.
Kevin G.
Anyway.
But, so we're going to work on these two episodes. I'm going to try to get them edited as soon as possible. And Ariane's going to work on our amazing Twitter page that has barely anything on it. While I keep updating our Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, Jenna's like, honestly, hashtag number one. Like, the head honcho.
But... Ariane has been working on her amazing cover art, which I would like to point that out. She took 4 days to paint and draw it.
Half of it's because I was really tired.
I mean, we both work, so I understand. You know. I mean, I'm just going to bitch a little bit. But.
Yeah, you know. Just rub it in my face. But, yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the art. I'm just trying out this for right now. Like, I do want to do different things. You know, I don't know where it's going to go.
But I don't know.
But I don't know. I mean, I like it. It's just like, if you guys want to give me some ideas, you know.
Or even your own artwork. We'd love to see that.
That would be really fucking cool, actually. But you know what? Baby steps.
You can email us at butidontknow.podcast@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. Okay. So I have an interesting story for you today.
Do you?
Yeah. It's actually a folklore from the West Indies, which if you guys don't know, I'm really into that stuff. And this one actually comes from the island of Trinidad and Tobago. And have you heard of Duin? The Duin?
No, I have not heard of the Duin.
Well, let me just show you what it looks like. It's pretty weird. It's a child.
It's a child?
A dead child.
Oh, that's
and I am over creepy. Simplifying it. So that's what it would look like.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. I eat this shit up, though. I love it. So it is pronounced Duen. D-O-U-E-N. Duen. Oh, yeah. Duen. But, like, if I was to say it in my accent, Duen. Which sounds a little different, but...
I'm sorry, it sounded very much the same. Ariane doesn't realize that she has an accent, like, 90% of the time.
Yeah. I do say things funny, and I don't realize it whenever I do.
As stated in our last episode.
Yeah. If you listen really clearly, you could probably hear it sometimes, but I don't know. I've been around a lot of Americans lately, so it's really all...
Lately, she means she's been around my family, which we're all Americans.
But you know what? I'm just going to go with it. Okay, so a duen is spirits of children who died before being baptized or christened, so they were cursed to roam the forest forever.
Okay. I don't want to, like, get off topic right now already, but I just want to bring up the point that this reminds me of a Pokemon character's backstory. If you look in the Pokédex, there are several really creepy stories behind some of the Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And there's some that are like, I can't remember what Pokemon it is off the top of my head, which is such a shame because I love Pokemon.
Let's Google it.
It up. It's one of the, I think, ghost Pokemon. They are like children that got lost in the woods. Or they, I don't know, eat children that are lost in the woods.
Wow, okay.
And it's like really dark, especially for a Pokemon.
See, I always liked the ghost Pokemons. Just because I thought it was a little bit more interesting than the shit that you got usually or in the gyms and whatnot.
And I just thought that would, like, be a really interesting tie into this story. That's and, really interesting. You know, I'm very into Pokemon because I grew up on, you know, Gen 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And that's about as far as I, like, really got in depth with it after that.
I can't find any.
I did watch Gen 3 and so on, but not in depth like I used to. And we are so unprepared.
You know, as
because we don't know.
And we're a little drunk.
Let's see, look at this one.
Dorkly.com. Dorkly. I can't type and not look. I have to look. I wasn't one of those gifted people that can just do it.
It's not Kadabra.
It's not drowsy. I'm drowsy, though.
Okay, what's Lampent say?
Spirit, it absorbs fuel. It's baleful fire. It hangs around hospitals waiting for people to pass on.
Oh my God. No, it's not that, but it's one of these Pokemon.
Ew. No thanks.
Did you see what it said, though?
Yeah.
It carries a mask of the face. Okay, this is your mask.
Your mask!
And each of them carries a mask that it used to be its face when it was human.
What the fuck?
And
that's me censoring myself.
Sometimes they look at it and cry, and I'm like, me too. I was ugly.
Oh, shut up. You're still ugly. I got her. Anyway, so.
But, like, some of the Pokédex entries, if you look at them, they're so freaking scary.
Jeez. So, Drifloon, which I feel like that's a Tumblr I follow. Shout out to you, Drifloon. You post a lot of really cool, like, fashion pics. Just saying. So, Drifloon, it is whispered that any child who mistakes Drifloon for a balloon and holds it on could wind up missing. Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dark, dark, dark.
My mom's a bitch.
Emotional. Shout out to Litter Squad.
Look it up. It's really funny.
It is. Okay, so Cacturn. If a traveler is going through a desert in a thick of the night, Cacturn will follow in a ragtag group, like a singing ragtag.
But anyway, I don't want to detract too much from your story. I just wanted to bring up because, like,
bitch, Banette. This one always creeped me out. An abandoned plush doll became this Pokemon. Ew, and there's like a bunch of these just abandoned plush dolls. I would imagine a lot of people would, not a lot, but just like it's scattered, you know. Said to have lived in garbage dumps and wander about in search of children that threw them away. That's really sad.
That's so sad.
And creepy.
Yeah, but.
Oh, maybe it's this one. Phantom.
I don't know.
According to old tales, these Pokemons are stumps possessed by spirits of children who died while lost in the forest. This is one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's so creepy. And
it's kind of cute, though.
But it's, like, so sad. And it's, like, on a different level than what you would think Pokemon would be on.
Yeah.
I mean, because from what I learned with Pokemon, like, they taught me, like, all of my morals and, like, how to be brave and how to think for myself.
Let go. Live and let go.
And how to depend on other people.
Yeah. Okay.
But let's go on with your story.
So, okay. The Dwen, or Duin. I'm going to say Dwen, just because it sounds more like a West Indian accent. It's described as a naked child, sometimes wearing a banana leaf or loincloth on its lower, area. And they're 2 to 3 feet tall. That's really creepy. I don't like miniature, like, humanoids or anything. Okay. I don't like that.
Not that we don't like midgets, but.
No, but you get what I'm saying. Like, there was this one video.
No, because they're, like, tiny, but, like, scary. I don't know.
I didn't say nothing.
I'm not talking about actual people these things.
No, like dolls and shit. I didn't like Barbies. I played with boys' toys.
I mostly had Barbies just so I could play Pokemon with them.
Yeah, that's a different story, though. It, you know, it's just like a miniature things, like if it's not anthropomorphic in a way, yeah, I like it. But I don't know, like fairies and shit, that creeps me out. Like
now miniature things are really cute to me, but because I think of it in terms of Momo, and I'm like, oh my god, yeah. Wouldn't it be so cute if Momo held like a pretend cup of coffee?
Yeah. And I think part of why I don't like miniature humans is because of another like kind of paranormal like folklore that I grew up hearing a lot, which I'll get into maybe in the next podcast, not now. But this kind of relates to this one too, but I don't think that it's the same thing, just because there was supposedly one of these creatures in the neighborhood that I lived in back home. Really creepy. All right. So they're 2 to 3 feet tall, and they have a featureless face. Don't tell me that's not the creepiest thing.
No fucking face.
And not no face from Spirited Away. There's just no feature to this little human.
And I saw the picture, and we'll probably post it on our Instagram and Twitter. And
really weird.
But you know what? It's really creepy.
It intrigued me, and here I am. 13 minutes in. And this is like what got me. The most identifiable trait of the Dwen is that their feet are turned backwards.
No!
You remember? And when I like was like researching it, I like thought of like the Lilo and Stitch movie with that alien that had the backwards legs. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like she had the like coolest like professional voice, but I wouldn't stop looking at her damn knees. They're all backwards, but she was an alien, so she, you know.
So it's okay because it's an alien.
You know.
Not a creepy child that hasn't been baptized.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm telling you. And got lost in the forest. Like, are you serious? And they're usually found, you know, in the forest, around swamps and rivers in Trinidad and Tobago. Shout out to you guys.
Hi, guys. Tell us if this is real.
I want to know, but I do have a story. And they're described as malicious creatures. And when the moon is full, they will lure children deep into the woods. And sometimes the child is found afterwards, and sometimes not at all.
No!
So, like, I wonder. I don't think they can convert them into. But you know what? Anyway.
I don't know, but I don't think so. It's creepy.
It's really creepy. And then to avoid this, parents will avoid saying the children's name too loudly in public because a Dwen can be fond of a person and then come to their door and try to charm children into like following them into the forest. Ugh. And you know, what do you know?
It's kind of like in Spirited Away when Yubaba owns Sin by like taking her name.
Yeah.
And she's like,
she's very patronizing.
Yeah.
Like, that reminds me of Roots. I don't know why.
I mean,
too dark.
She like goes from being Chihiro to Sin, and like suddenly she's not the person that she is anymore.
Yeah, she's because just a little worker bee in the bathhouse.
She's owned by her. And if she had never told Yubaba her name, maybe. And, like, sign that contract, maybe she wouldn't have even become, you know, a worker bee.
Yeah. So, they have a very interesting sound, which I think, you know, for me, it's kind of weird. Because I'm like, have I heard this sound? Just because I grew up in a very heavily forested area when I was younger. So, they make a whooping sound. And it's like mesmerizing is what the article described.
Kind of like a siren?
No, kind of like a howler monkey or something.
Well, I was just saying like, because sirens, you know, mesmerize men that are out on boats and they go to their death.
I thought you were saying like
no,
ambulance
like,
sirens.
No, like
police
sirens. Like the mythological sirens.
Oh, yeah. Mermaids is what she's trying to say, you guys.
No, they're sirens.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so, and a lot of the times whenever the Dwens do show up to people's houses, they're in search for their, like, a maternal figure or the love of one of a mother.
This sounds like the Black-Eyed Children.
Oh, my God, stop. That creeps me out.
Yeah, anyway. I'm not going home tonight.
You see my bed. So, from what I understand, they don't eat the children. They just kidnap them. I don't know
which is still fucked up.
You know, yeah. It, There's something about children, you know. To me, they're, you know, the epitome of innocence. Oh my God.
It's like we're friends or something.
Clink! Clink! So, they feed off of, like, cultivated gardens and have a bizarre fondness for water crabs. Me too. I love crab.
Yeah.
I must be a Dwen. I am 5'3". So, I'm just kidding. So,
she has features on her face.
Yeah,
as seen ones. In our Instagram.
Just kidding. So, like a lot of the characters in local folklore of the West Indies, these are direct transfers of stories from West Africa, and this is like from like hundreds and thousands of like what is it? Captives from the Ibu, Dahomey, and Yoruba nations, and it's transported to the West Indies, you know, around the time mm-hmm. of colonization when the British invaded us, I'm not going to get into it.
It's a whole nother topic.
But you know. So
we all know.
From the Ashanti coast, the tradition of the Great Griot, and this is just kind of like the backstory of how storytelling came to be, the oral tradition, and I know it's usually the same, but I'm happy that there was, like, a direct, like, lineage from yeah. where it came from. And, you know, just explaining how they told stories of folklore outside their huts in bondage. Just
why like, in bondage?
Does it say? No. Like, they're bonding
over
stories.
I was, like, thinking some BDSM shit. And I was like, why
in... Girl, that's Europeans.
And not that there's anything wrong with BDSM, if that's what you're into. Cool.
I don't think that's Europeans.
I don't know.
You know. We'll get into that. But maybe not today.
Was just picturing a very different scene in my head.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't very clear. I, like, questioned myself when I said it. But when they like someone, this is the Dwens, they can be very persistent and clingy. Ew.
Me too.
They have a soft side, though. They have been known to help injured animals and mimic animal cries in order to throw off hunters. Which, you know, shout out to them. Like,
who's the real MVP, sort of, not really.
What were you saying about Deadpool? Anti-hero?
Yeah, the anti-hero.
Yeah, anti. Anyway. So then, they protect wildlife in that sense. And you know what? If they are real...
That sounds like the Kodama spirits.
You think?
And,
which, the first time I saw Princess Mononoke, I was creeped out, but I was like, they're kind of cute.
I mean, funny story about Princess Mononoke, which, if you don't know, we absolutely love Studio Ghibli films in this house. I have a no-face tattoo and everything.
Yeah, just throw it in our faces while we're at it.
It's really cool. But anyway, so, like, the Kodama spirits, they're kind of like protectors of the forest spirit, mm-hmm. you know, like the main spirit, and... I think that kind of, they're less creepy. They're a little creepy because they do that weird, like, head... You know what I'm talking about?
Me trying to pop my neck.
But they, like, do that, like, weird, like, it's like their sound that they, like, go...
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain it, but
watch it.
Yeah.
Know.
It's a really good movie.
You should watch it.
You'll be a little freaked out.
It's long, but it's a good one.
And yeah. When I was a child, my dad thought it was just a cartoon. So he rented it.
As most dads do.
And this was when I was like either just entering elementary school or I like wasn't even in elementary school.
Could you pronounce your T and your H's?
No, I couldn't because I hadn't been in speech classes.
Oh, I was kidding.
But so he rented it and we watched it and I just remember cowering behind my sisters, Chelsea and Lindsay, and they were like, it's okay, Jenna, we'll tell you when it's over because like... The pig head goes, like, flying across the screen with, like, worms and everything flying out of it. And it's, like, terrifying as a child. But when you watch it as an adult, you're like, I see the real value in this.
Yeah, you critique the shit out of it.
And it's one of my favorite movies now. But, like, as a child, I was like, I will never watch that movie
again. I have to rewatch it. But now that you're on that topic... See to Chucky, all the Chucky movies, I watched all of them. I was like 7 and I was like, no fucking
that
way.
That was Pet Cemetery for me.
Oh, girl. We gotta Pet like cemetery, talk yeah. about this on a different podcast. But yeah, like, you're not supposed to watch those movies, obviously, when you're that young, but
Because it fucks you up.
It kind of explains, like, the why I don't like certain things, like dolls, like murder, like all other shit.
I'm just terrified of, like, burying my pets and then them being in an Indian burial ground without me knowing and then them coming back evil.
This is why the, you know, Europeans shouldn't take the Indians.
Yeah. Fuck the Europeans. Grams. Except not you guys. Like the new Europeans. Yeah, like you guys are cool. We're talking like Christopher Andrew Columbus. Jackson. You know. You fuck you guys.
Yeah.
You, we're just gonna edit this shit out.
Yeah. But you know, as I was saying.
Colonization.
Yeah, no kidding. I've seen it 3 times now because I loved it, but Jenna just watched Black Panther.
And it was very good.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda!
Okay, so it is possible to summon a Duin in order to prank someone, which, why would you do that?
That's like, so mean!
The whooping? I can't. Yeah.
That's terrifying. It is. Don't ever do that to me. Oof. I will kill you.
That's not even a little bit funny. Because I'm sure they mean no harm, but it's just so... It's so creepy.
It's disconcerting. It's like a different level of freaky. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. But I decided to tell a story about it.
And this is why we drink.
Well, yeah. Shout out to you guys.
As we talk about us. Like every episode.
And this is interesting. To release a Duin from its cursed state, you must sprinkle it with holy water and recite the baptismal prayer, and then it can rest in peace, which I'm sure.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask, so are they Catholic in Trinidad? And where was the other place?
Tobago.
Is it largely Catholicism or Christian?
I think it...
That's probably... I don't know much about it, but that sounds like it was a little bit after colonization then.
Okay, so I know Christopher Columbus encountered the islands on his third voyage.
Yeah, so it was definitely after colonization has happened at this point. Yeah. So they are largely Catholic at this point.
Well, I mean, I know I was raised Catholic, so that's, like, my thing. But in just kind of, like, the exercising, I know that Catholicism is, like, the big bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you can exercise anything when you use that sect.
It's like whenever, it doesn't matter what you're being haunted by, you're like, I'm going to call a Catholic Latin priest.
Yeah, you know? Like, it gets the job done. So... And I have a story, but I also want, because I like to mention, like, when it appears in, like, popular culture and, like, in movies or anything like that. So it's featured in Sci-Fi's show Haven, and the episode is called Lost and Found, and it's in season 4. I've never seen it. I just thought it was really interesting that it popped up in popular culture. It's mentioned 12 times in Mycroft Holmes, which is by a book by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Anna Waterhouse. I've never read it, but I think it's interesting that it was mentioned.
If you have read it, let us know.
Yeah, let us know if it's any good. And it was also mentioned several times in a book by Wayne Gerard Trutman called Kaya Abnia and the Father of the Forest. That sounds interesting. Like
that sounds more like the Kadama spirits then.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have an article, and it's from The Guardian, which is a... newspaper by like a Trinidadian and Tobago, and I think that's
is that how you say it.
I know it's Trinidadian, and Tobago's a different island, so please inform me if I don't know. I'm sorry, it's been a long time. It's been 10 years, you guys. Okay, so the story goes, and this is by the author Angelo Besser Sursing. And it says, my grandmother Teresa told a story of an incident that really happened over 70 years ago in a forest a couple hundred feet from where we live. Mm. A young couple ventured into the woods to pick mangoes from a large tree, which still stands. With them was their 4-year-old son. The boy wandered off into the forest and was lost. No. His frantic parents searched until darkness fell, and they hastened to the obstablery.
I can't see it from to your wine glasses in the way.
Quentin!
Hasten to the constabulary. I don't know that word.
Constabulary?
I'm too drunk to, and special guest
Quentin made his cameo appearance.
He wants to eventually pop up on the show.
You know we're going to edit this out, yeah. Right? Oh, you smell so good, though.
Ew.
I like him. I can't help it.
That's my brother.
I know. To the constabulary at Sabira, 2 miles away, and a report was laid. So, they lost him. He wandered off. Not their fault. So the police called in an experienced hunters who knew the high woods thoroughly, and augmented by townspeople, dozens of searchers combed the forest high and low for a week. Ooh. For a week, yeah. Ooh, this is a real story, you guys. The search extended as far as the south coast of Wenon Beach, over 7 miles away, since in those days, the mighty forest stretched unbroken from Maruga to Erin.
Okay. Not to get too off topic, because I'm going to let you go ahead and go on, but...
She's going to let me, you guys.
Shut up. Anyway, I wanted to bring up one of the stories that I heard on the radio, I think a year ago, about now.
There's still shit in my wine glass. Anyway, keep going.
Okay, that might be the wine. There is this story about a toddler that survived in the wilderness for, like, 3 days or longer. I can't remember. She was, like, in the wilderness and very, very hungry and very parched. You know, she was alone, and they found her just, like, hanging out in, like, a pasture or something like that. And they, like, found her, and they took her back, and she's fine and everything, but they don't know what happened to her. And she was, like, gone for a few days, and she survived. Like, that doesn't happen.
No. Which kind of, like, reminds me of, like, the feral child theory.
Yeah.
Which I, like, talk about that one day.
I mean, like, how did she survive? So, like, that, I just wanted to bring that up because, like, this child has been missing for a week now.
Which
you would think that he'd be. I'm sorry.
Like, I hate thinking about stuff like that, but in all reality, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And
watch your children really closely. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, pausing the story. The search was called off, and the grieving parents left with the inconsolable void of having lost a child that those in similar circumstances knew too well. And then about 3 months later, some villagers were again in the vicinity of the mango tree when they heard voices coming from a nearby clump of balisier. Let me Google this. All these words, we don't know. It's a flower.
Oh, it's a flower. Okay, so back to the story.
Oops. Yeah, so, by a clump of balisier, which is a really pretty... I think I have that in Animal Crossing, actually.
Shout out to Pocket Camp.
Thank you. I needed it.
So,
in the thicket was the lost child. His clothes were in tatters, but he seemed healthy and well cared for. Not at all haggard and dehydrated, as one would expect of a person wandering in the jungle. He's sitting in a cleared circle and playing with bits of wood and stone. The boy was reunited with his overjoyed parents, but on being piled with questions about his ordeal, he would only reply cryptically that he had been cared for in his absence by his friends, quote unquote. The boy lived to be an old man and is now deceased, but it has always been believed that he was taken by Dwens.
That's so creepy.
Yep, that's the story.
I mean,
guys.
Like, it's like a happy story, but it's really creepy.
Yeah. And I thought that was a really interesting read because a lot of times, like, even stories that I grew up hearing, like, about the old hag, the Baku, which I do want to talk about. That was, like, the little guy. Uh-huh. He lives in a rum bottle. And if you feed a bananas, it'll come out. And
I'm telling you. I never heard this.
This was, like real stuff. Like, it happened whatever.
We'll save it for another
story. Yeah. But, you know, if you know any of those, you know, email me. But I just thought that was so cool.
So there was rumors that this was living around you?
Yeah, like I lived on the public road.
Yeah.
And there was the old road, and it was really close.
And is this back in Guyana? Mm-hmm. Okay.
In my old neighborhood of Sturfield, shout out, West Coast. But, yeah. and hearing this, like, as a child, you're like, oh my God, that's real. And then, like, you would, like, hear stories and, like...
I don't understand why they would, like, basically kidnap children just to take care of them and then possibly...
kill them or whatever.
Or bring them back, because that's... If he was captured by the Duin, then wouldn't he have been reunited with his parents?
I think it was, like, eventually, but it's just, like, one of those things where it's, like, you don't really know why spirits do what they do.
Yeah, that's just, like... What actually makes these?
Right, and I have a more cryptic one. And, like, I was scared. Like, my sisters convinced me that this was real. But I'm going to save it for another day because they were assholes. But it really scared me. And I remember, like, I'll just save it for another podcast.
Well, it really talking about up. Siblings being assholes, this reminds me of, it's not about my siblings, but being convinced that something's real. When I was in preschool, I remember...
here we go, you guys.
Bloody Mary was a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I do want to do a story about Bloody Mary maybe in the future. But I remember being locked in the bathroom in my preschool.
Oh.
And the kids were, like, holding the door closed so I couldn't open it.
First of all, what dicks?
And they wouldn't open it until I said Bloody Mary 3 times.
You probably crying.
I was hysterical. I'm not kidding you. And yes. I was terrified to see a mirror after that because I was like thoroughly convinced. I mean, in my preschool mind, how could you not be convinced that this is real?
You're very gullible.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still a little scared about that shit.
No, I am too. That's why I ain't doing the story over it. Yeah.
But do you want to hear my interesting story?
Yes, actually. I was looking at the articles.
Okay. Well, you weren't supposed to do that, but...
You asked me to open up. You asked me. She didn't ask me.
Shut up. I hate that. Anyway, my story is about past life regression.
In past life. That's a Tame Impala song. Whom I love.
And, so past life regression is a really interesting topic to me, because I like to think, even though I am atheist, I like to believe that possibly past lives are a thing, and I might not have any ties to any religion, but I like to believe that I am, you know, the product of something that's already been here before, and I like to believe that after we die, we are reborn into something new.
Yeah, I believe.
And that's kind of what past life regression is about. But there's, like, a therapy that you can do that actually is about past life regression. So the therapy is past life regression therapy.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? It is not proven. So there's no actual scientific basis to this. But we like to talk about what isn't proven and what could be real. Mm-hmm. And I keep hiccuping. Forgive me.
Yeah, come on.
Alcohol. Okay, so it consists of hypnosis and talk attendant therapy. It is suggested that there's evidence that we carry on our past lives and our current lives. This evidence is in the form of emotional ties, psychic, and sometimes physical ties.
No.
Yeah, like it goes that deep, which is really interesting to me. A past life therapist guides us through events that we would have been, or that would have been significant in our past lives, such as like our death experience or, huge like moral lessons that we learned before we pass on.
Yeah.
And were reborn. So you'll be given a life review and an understanding of your life's purpose and lessons learned, and the decisions are looked on from a spiritual perspective. So I wanted to bring up, like, one of the things that I thought was interesting. There's been a whole bunch of, like, Facebook videos that ask you to, like, picture something in your mind. And then it keeps building on it. And then it'll be like, was this really big? Was it small? And then, like, as you go on, it apparently reveals, like, a deeper understanding of yourself.
Really?
Yeah, like, I remember doing one where it was, like, you're in a desert, and there's, like, a trap door or something like that, and you have to, like, picture a ladder to get into the trapdoor, and is the ladder tall, or, you know, like, was it kind of short, and all these things, and they reveal, like, aspects about yourself that weren't, like, very known to you, or, like, you didn't even think were, like, these things actually, you know, alluded to that. And maybe I'm a little biased, but mine actually revealed a lot about myself that I thought was actually true.
Really?
But
explain. Is this the Victorian thing?
No. But it's kind of like hard to say, because it could be very much like the horoscopes, where, you know, they do such a very broad aspect about yourself that you're like, oh, I totally see that about myself. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. I take those with a grain of salt, though, just because.
I do, too, but it's very interesting to see as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, I say, like, I'm a Scorpio. I'm not a sex addict or anything like that. But, and that's, like, what Scorpios are kind of defined as. Which, and
I guess.
I guess. But, like, that's not, like, the biggest aspect
of yourself. Yeah.
But we're also known to be, like, very fearless leaders and, like, very outspoken. And I'm like, well, I am very outspoken, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't take shit from anyone,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Either, though.
So, I mean, some aspects of it, it's like, well, I can see that. But then at the same time, they do it so general that you can see it in yourself.
Yeah.
Any aspect.
It's like a fortune cookie.
So, I wanted to bring up the four signs you may have if you've had a past life, sorry. So, if you experience, like, deja vu or sensations that you've met a person before or visited a place, you might have had a past life, which, I mean, gotta take it with a grain of salt as well. Everyone experiences some sort of deja vu, probably.
I think it makes you human.
Yeah, I think it's kind of normal. But, like, there's this woman that I read about who went to Greece, and she was, like, on her honeymoon, supposed to be having a great time, but she kept having, like, horrible panic attacks, and then she, like, reported it to her therapist, and then after she came back, all of the panic attacks stopped.
Hmm.
And then, like, they tried past life regression on her, the therapy, and it shows that maybe she was possibly killed in ancient Greece.
No.
Which would definitely cause panic attacks if I was that person.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hope
it wasn't violent.
Vivid dreams that are so real that you're feeling like you were actually there, which is something I experience almost nightly.
Mm-hmm.
So past life regression, maybe memories, symbols, metaphors, and etc. So basically, these vivid dreams that you feel like you might have experienced might actually be your past lives.
From a past life.
This is all Ariane's contributing to mine.
I just think it's really interesting because I've always had deja vu when I was younger. And I literally, you guys, I would feel like a chill. Like a chill down my entire body. Like
it's a bizarre happening. Experience.
Yeah, like I
you like knew it was deja vu, but you're like, why am I having deja vu?
Yeah, and it's like I'm literally picking up a fork. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the significance? And after a while I just lost it.
Yeah.
And I think it was just the times.
I've heard that comes with having a past life is that you typically experience these things when you're younger.
Kinda like a clairvoyance.
Yeah.
Which I did my last podcast on, you know, sort of. Not
astral
really.
Projection, but yeah. Also, doing well in history without trying may be a sign. I did horrible in history, but
I love history, but world history,
yeah,
specifically.
I like world history. I don't like U.S. history, but
it's so boring. Boo! Get over it.
That's probably because I grew up in the U.S. and I also think that most of the U.S. history is like, oh, we fucked over this country. How else did we fuck them over?
Native Americans or indigenous people, whichever.
Yeah,
You know, whatever. I don't know the political terminology.
But, yeah, that's what I feel like all of U.S. history is, so.
Yeah, it gets kind of dry after the Freemasons.
But, talents, abilities, likes and dislikes, attractions and diversions can also be clues to past lives. Feeling drawn to people, cultures, or the like, and no physical connection. Learning certain subjects, professions more easily, like foreign languages. So, like, I had, like, an easy time for the longest time when I was learning Latin, learning it. I was super drawn to the culture. I was super interested in mythology, and I was so drawn to it that I think possibly, like, I don't know if this is true or anything, but I like to think that maybe I was possibly experience a past life in ancient Roman times. Good night, Dad. Oh, there's a big mosquito in here. But so, like, a lot of that, like, being drawn to certain cultures. Like, I also am very much drawn to the Victorian era, which I have no reason to be drawn to it. It was actually kind of a shitty time to live in. But
did they even have period pads? My first question.
I mean, I think during the Civil War, they were still using, like, rags. So, ugh. I don't think they had pads. But anyway, so, like, being drawn to that kind of stuff, like, have you been drawn to something in particular?
I've always liked ancient Egypt. I love anything. Like, here's my thing, though. When I was younger, I wanted to be an archaeologist because, and this is, like, the most poetic, you know, definition
for it. Tell us a poem.
It's to travel the sea of time.
I just spilled my drink all over.
Damn, Jenna, let me fucking shine. anyway, it's to travel the sea of time to figure out the purpose of the universe along the lines of that. I wrote it in, like, my junior high agenda because I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I really wanted to be an archaeologist. But that dream went down the shitter. But yeah, I just think it's really interesting that the ancient Egyptians did so much. They did so fucking much, and they didn't get any credit. People thought they were still primal and primitive, and they weren't. Like, they figured out if you put animal fat in your hair, it'll moisturize it, and then you'll get, like, these luxurious curls.
This isn't a vegan podcast. Yes. Sorry.
Like, they figured out if you use fucking mirrors, you can get light in a tunnel. And like, the Baghdad bomb, which, you know, whatever. They figured all that shit out, and they don't get enough credit. People just kind of see them as, like, oh, it was the first hierarchy, da-da-da-da-da, incest, da-da-da-da. Like, they just don't get enough credit, and I've always found it interesting.
And that's kind of...
maybe that's it.
That's kind of, like, how I feel with, like, it not being Egypt for me, but, like, the Victorian era and the ancient Romans and then, like, even the Babylonians. Like, I feel...
Oh, like the Sumerians?
Yeah, and I feel so drawn to those kind of cultures that I feel like I have this weird connection with them, even though I clearly am not connected as, like, you know, my modern-day person. I am not connected to it.
Right, right. Yeah, I just, you know, whatever. I think it's really cool.
And then number four on this, for the signs that you may have had a past life, I thought was really cute. You have a soulmate, which I truly believe I have a soulmate. Which I can kind of also say I'm not 100% sure about this sign. But the common thought is that we travel through different lives with the same group of souls. Relationships may change, like a mom may be the daughter or the son in a relationship next time, but the daughter of the mother will now be the mother, you know, kind of thing. So, like, the relationship will change.
Yeah.
But they will travel together. But the souls, in the same sense, are the same. So, and I think that's really interesting. And I'd like to point you to, also, that podcast that we like to talk about, And That's Why We Drink, has a really good episode about this as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to stay away from their examples as much as possible because I don't want to just be, you know, reiterating what they say.
But they did do a really good job about it.
And I think it's episode 54. I might be wrong, but go check it out because it's a lot more information and I think it's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they use the same quote in their podcast, but I think it's a very important quote to bring up. You know who Carl Sagan is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, he's an astrobiologist and an American astronomer. And he actually believes in past lives, which is really cool to me because, yeah. I mean, Carl Sagan's, like, real cool to me.
He is. He's very smart.
Yeah. And he says, there are claims in the parapsychology field which, in my opinion, deserve serious study. Young children sometimes report details of a previous life which, upon checking, turn out to be accurate and which they could not have known about in any other way other than reincarnation.
God.
So I think that is, like, something to really understand is that, I mean, like, these kids that are, like, 2 years old, they're not going to be doing research about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But they somehow know specific details about past lives that they shouldn't know.
Right.
And so the rest of my story is collections of these past lives.
And you guys love hearing us read other people's shit, don't you?
But they're really interesting stories.
I just didn't realize, like, and I think this is another human thing. We all kind of experience things differently, but we sort of come to the same conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember feeling like whenever I had deja vu, like, I was the only one. Like, I didn't want to say anything to anyone because I sounded, like, crazy or, like, weird or, like, I wouldn't get, like, I wouldn't get the answer that I was looking for. So I kind of suppressed it for a long time just because I was like, oh, that's just weird. I can't tell anyone about that. But, you know, you can.
But I also wanted to make a point that typically when you have, like, evidence of a past life, you are very young when you show evidence of it. That's why, like, at this age, I don't feel like I show very much evidence, but I probably did as a young child.
Right.
And it's very possible that even if I didn't say anything about it when I was a child, that I still had one, right, or that you still had one, and et cetera. But, okay. Uh-oh.
The Wi-Fi's out.
And we're going to edit this out. What am I
boop,
doing?
Okay. Boop, boop.
So, okay. Sam Taylor is one of the children that Tucker studied and wrote about. He was born 18 months after his paternal grandfather died, before he first started recalling details of his past life when he was just over a year old. So, like I said, really young. When he was 1.5 years old, he looked up at his father while he was changing his diaper and said, "When I was your age, I used to change your diapers."
He that began, would creep me the fuck out.
But, like, it's so bizarre because, like, I mean, his paternal grandfather died 18 months before he was born.
And it just, like, recycled.
Yeah.
He recycled or whatever.
He began talking about more about having been his grandfather. He eventually told details of his grandfather's life that his parents felt certain he could not have learned through normal means, such as the fact that his grandfather's sister had been murdered and that his grandmother used to have a food processor to make milkshakes for his grandfather every day at the end of his life.
God.
Like, how do you know those details?
Like, that's really, like,
as specific. 1.5-year-old child.
Yeah. Ooh, heavy.
Okay, and then there's Ryan, a boy from the Midwest.
Wow, wonder where he's from.
Ryan's story began when he was 4 years old, when he was experiencing frequent horrible nightmares. Once he turned 5, he made an announcement to his mother. He told her, "I used to be somebody else." He would often talk about going home to Hollywood and beg his mother to take him there. He told her detailed stories about meeting stars like Rita Hayworth and dancing in Broadway productions and working for an agency where people would frequently change their names. He even remembered the name of the street he used to live on that had the word rock in it. Ryan's mother, Sydney, said that his stories were so detailed and so extensive that it just wasn't like a child would have made up. Sydney decided to check out some books from the Hollywood, from her local library, thinking that something inside would catch her son's attention, and it did. Sydney said that she found the below picture, which is a picture of some men in a Hollywood picture, just talking to each other. It looks like a still.
Mm-hmm.
Of the man that Ryan claims to have been his past life, and everything changed. They decided to seek Tucker's help, which is the one who is kind of reporting all of this, who took on the case and started his research. After only approximately 2 weeks, a Hollywood film archivist was able to confirm the identity of the one of the men in the photo. The picture was from a film titled Night After Night, and the man was Marty Martin, which is a killer name.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Who had been in a movie extra and then later became a powerful Hollywood agent before passing away in 1964.
Wow.
Martin had fast dance on Broadway, worked at an agency where his stage names were often created for new clients, and traveled overseas to Paris and lived at 825 North Roxbury Drive in Beverly Hills. So, Roxbury.
Yeah.
He said he lived at a place with rock in it.
That's probably, like, I don't know, too hard for him to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's really, like, ooh.
There were details that Ryan was able to communicate to Tucker before they learned the identity of who he described. For example, Ryan knew that he had the address Rocks in it. And Ryan was also to recall how many children Martin had had and how many times he was married.
God.
Just very specific.
Yeah.
More remarkable.
I don't even remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know what I had for lunch today.
Ramen.
No.
Oh, you didn't have anything.
I don't think so.
Oh. Bitch.
More remarkable still is the fact that Ryan knew Martin had two sisters, but Martin's own daughter did not.
Damn.
Ryan also remembers an African-American maid. Marty and his wife employed several. These are just a few of the 55 facts that Ryan can remember from his previous life as Marty Martin through his ages. His memories become increasingly dim.
Jeez.
Which I just think is insanely awesome.
It is. I wonder what he's doing now.
I have no idea.
He's,
like,
yeah.
So then on another,
website,
I'm trying to get to a different point because I don't want to.
Doop doop in the past life.
Okay. Okay. So these are really short, but they're really interesting as well. So it says, not necessarily a past life, but my friend had a miscarriage before she had her son. He had no idea about her miscarriage and was about 6 when he said the following. Remember the baby you had in your belly? I made them go away so you could be my mommy. The child also saw spirits and mirrors until he was in about 5th grade.
Mirrors freak me out, you guys. They're like said to be portals to demons and spirits. So, never looking at my face again.
But that, like, leads to evidence. It's like, is your spirit alive before you're actually alive?
Guys, I have a story.
Okay.
Really creepy. Okay. So I hope I'm not sharing too much just because, I mean, it was a long time ago, but my mother gave birth to 5 babies until she was pregnant a 6th time. I'm the last one, you know, just for like a frame of like reference. And as it turns out, the baby didn't survive. I don't know how many months she was along or anything, but I vaguely remember that I was playing in the backyard, which it was like on the side, and oh, so creepy. I used to live by a cemetery, which was next to like a church, but it was kind of like, not like abandoned, but there was a new church built like just a couple, like, I don't know, like, not miles, but it was, like, right next to it. And then I was living by 2 churches, actually, now that I remember. I'm, like, jogging my memory. So I lived by a couple of churches when I was little, but there was this one particular church that was right by our house, and it was a cemetery as well. And there were still, like, grave like stones and tombs there. But that's beside the point. So on the side of our yard that was closest to the graveyard, I remember playing in that portion of the yard. And then in the corner, I remember seeing like these little like idols, mm-hmm. like, you know, like little Catholic idols.
Yeah.
One was, I think it was the wise men or something like that. And then there was one that had Mary and a baby. And I remember picking them up and being like, "Mommy, Mommy, look at these I just found." And she like grabbed them from my hands. And then she was really mad at me. And I never understood why until like a couple of years after my sisters were like, "Yeah, she had a miscarriage. She buried the baby right there." And I was like,
"What?
What the fuck?" Which is incredibly saddening.
So crazy.
Miscarriages are really sad.
She must have been kind of far along if like that had been... It must have been a stillbirth. Or close to it.
I don't know. Like, I'm getting chills. That's just really sad. Like, thinking about it.
Yeah, no, I'm getting
and then,
chills.
For the longest time, I always felt like a presence. Like, not like a haunting presence.
Maybe it's like a guardian angel.
I would hope so, because goddamn it, I need it. But I just remember for the longest time, like, I was always like, why was she so mad at me? Like, I just picked up the dolls.
Yeah.
And
I mean, how could you know as a child?
It was just always really creepy because we lived right by a graveyard.
Yeah. So no, that's like, really creepy.
But yeah, that's my creepy story for the day. Sorry, Mom, but it happened.
So another person says, my son said something to me when he was 2 to 2.5 years old, and we were on top of the stairs while I was fixing something. Can't remember what. He said to me, funny, me were daddy, now you daddy. I'd be about 29 to 30 by then, and my father died when I was 11. He only said that once, and I've never told him, never told anyone apart from my best friend who's like about 20 years ago.
Creepy.
I don't even know what
they
I would say to my child if they said that. Okay, this one's called, they helped fix grandpa and somehow spoke German.
Whoa.
So, when my daughter was 3, she told me several times that she knew me, my sister, my mother, and my dad before she was here now. She said all of us women wore white dresses, and we worked in a white tent with red crosses on it. We said we all helped fix grandpa after he got poomed. Her word for gun sounds when she was little. She also told me that we had been taking turns being the mommy. She said I was doing a good job this time. I've actually accidentally called her mommy a couple times when I was really tired. My little boy spoke what sounded like German as a baby without hearing it before. And when he was older, we got a German babysitter that was surprised that we only spoke English because he was speaking low German at her house.
Low German?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, in a low voice.
That's fucking creepy.
I don't even know what I would do. I mean, German's not an easy language to learn. Neither is, like, any language.
Ew, Quentin, stop! I mean, oh my god, Quentin
is making his appearance like, a really creepy...
This is really creepy.
Wants to...
Stop!
This is the low voice they're talking about. Ich möchte ein Bier.
He just asked for a beer. One beer. And I really hope a child isn't asking that. But I don't know. If my child starts speaking foreign languages, I might punt them across the room. I don't know.
Creepy.
Quentin says this is supposed to be creepy.
He did the eyes and everything. I don't like that.
You should have seen his face. It was really, really weird.
Yeah.
Okay, and this one's called Nightmares of Being Run Over by a Bus. I fully believe in past lives. My parents told me that up until about age 6, I used to have a horrible reoccurring nightmares of being run over by a bus along a certain stretch of road where my grandparents used to live. It was only when I was in my teens when they told me this that my great aunt was knocked down and killed by a bus, age 6. Oh, when they told me this, that my great-aunt was knocked down and killed by a bus, age 6, along that exact stretch of road. I don't really have any of my own memories about it, apart from the reoccurring dreams of the stretch of road that I still have. I don't get knocked down, but I always seem to be there.
Okay, I have a reoccurring dream, you guys. So when I was younger, I had a huge backyard. Not the side yard I was talking about, like the actual backyard. And I would have this dream that me and my cousins were running away from an animated bear and a snail. For some reason, this was really fucking creepy to me. And there'd be nights, weeks,
that Winnie the Pooh just running around.
No, it was like the quilted northern bear.
Was it Cool the Pot Snail?
I don't know. Ew, yeah, I hate that. Yeah, maybe, actually. It was really fucking scary. Because we had to, like, climb over this, like, waterfall. And, like, some of my cousins didn't survive. And, of course, I was the one that had to face it. But that's all I remember. But it was really, really scary, you guys. Anyway, back to Jenna.
So this is going to be the last story I share about it. But if you have any of your own past life experiences, yeah, please let us know. We really want to know. Email us. Or just let us know in any way, shape, or form, because this is an extremely interesting topic to me.
Yeah, I'm getting chills.
This one's called Irrational Fears in Past Lives. I've always wondered if it's a past life kind of thing when a child has an irrational fear of something before they can talk. My niece, for example, as a toddler, she was afraid of anyone going into the bathroom alone. She would scream no at the door, and she was fine as left. As long as you left the door open. My stepson is terrified of lakes and water spraying on him. Having a bath is fine, playing in the sink is fine, but deep water over his waist and waves and water falling on him, the shower head, rain, water falling on him from the roof, etc., freaks him out. I remember as a child, too, having a reoccurring dream where I was a different girl. I remember seeing myself in the mirror, brushing my hair, then hearing a fire alarm and not being able to find my way out while I could hear my mom calling my name. Next thing I remember is being above my body while it charred, while it was charred and bloody, then being wheeled out of the house. I even still remember the full layout of the house. On a stretcher by the paramedics, in a body bag, still from the view of looking at myself from above.
What the?
I remember being no more than 5 or 6 telling my mom about these dreams. My mom just remarked about them being silly, but it's always bothered me. So, one thing I've learned is that irrational fears and stuff really do have come, like, they're a big fact in having a past life. And sometimes if you have, like, a birthmark in a certain place, it's evidence of possibly being killed there.
Actually, I do have, it's like very light. When I used to be darker, you see it, but there's like down like this in between my chest.
You were stabbed in the chest.
No, actually, I was probably one of those like frogs you dissect in science class. Like that was my
I don't know what it is exactly, but I did read a story about a kid having like the same birthmarks in the same spot that he thought he was this person in a past life, and they were killed in the same areas that like a bullet went through.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But that's all I have today. So we're going to say follow us on social media. You can follow us on our Instagram at butidontknow.podcast
or our Twitter at But IDK Podcast.
You can also find us on Facebook at But I Don't Know, which you can also look at butidontknow.podcast.
You can listen to us at Podomatic,
Spreaker,
SoundCloud,
Buzzsprout,
Podcasts.com,
Wooshka,
and last but not least, there's two more, iTunes,
Anchor,
and CastBox.
And if you really want to help us get a second microphone,
I'd really appreciate it.
And you just really enjoy listening to us, yeah, because plans in the future to try to get merch and stuff like that. But we can't without your guys' wonderful help. You can donate to us on Patreon at patreon.com/butidontknowpodcast.
Thank you again for listening.
And if you really stuck with us, we really, really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. And we really hope that you guys are listening and paying attention. You guys can also email at us at but I don't know .podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Please send us your own personal stories. We want to hear them. We want to know you guys are listening.
Or any suggestions for later podcasts.
Yes, we also love topic ideas.
Yep.
So thank you so much. And this has been...
But
I don't know.
But I maybe know.
That was Quentin.
Did we get that?
Yeah.